to Psalm chapter 141, verse 3. Psalm 141, verse 3. Psalm 141, verse 3. Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Let's pray together. God, thank you for this morning. Thank you for bringing us here just to be in your presence and to pray for our community and to listen to the word of God. I pray, Lord, that you will come and speak to us this morning. I thank you that your presence is here. I thank you that you love us, God, that we are the object of your affection this morning, and help us to just connect with you and to hear your voice, God, today. Thank you. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. Amen. Psalm 141, verse 3, set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. I want to talk about guarding our speech. Being careful with how we use our words. So I want to begin with a story that kind of inspired me to talk about this. Last Sunday, as you all know, Pastor Mary gave a word and spoke the sermon. There was a church member that had grown up in a tradition where they were taught that there couldn't be a woman preacher in the pulpit, right? A woman pastor, a woman teacher giving the message for the whole church. So, and that's okay. I mean, we can talk about this. There's arguments for both sides, you know, and obviously, our church stance is that it's okay for a woman to be giving the message. But this person had grown up in a different tradition. But what I was so blessed by was just the way this person approached me about this issue. Right? The way he approached it was completely humble and was not argumentative at all. He wasn't... But now you know it's a he, it's a brother. But he wasn't coming into it thinking, this is not right, you know, how can you be doing this? And he was not a rash with his words at all. He was very, very humble and very, very just kind and considerate in his questions. You know, he was just... I was wondering, you know, this is what I grew up in, but obviously, you know, what do I know? I just want to ask you for your thoughts. And I was just so blessed by that. Because within the church, we could have many arguments about different things, and people get hung up on issues like this, where it could go both ways, and people become so adamant about what they think is right, and dissensions could happen from that, and arguments could happen from that, and it becomes a thing of pride, like, no, I think this is right, and you need to listen to me, and it could get quite heated. But from this brother who approached me about it, I was like, oh man, this is the kind of attitude and the way we should be using our speech and our words. And because of this question, I was doing some research, and there's arguments for both sides, but John Piper is one that would say that in the main service, a woman should not be preaching. But when he, just the way he writes with so much grace. You know, if someone believes in that and thought that this was wrong for a woman to preach, he could be a lot more, mean and more strong and just argumentative. But Piper writes with so much grace and so much humility, yet while holding on to this position. And I thought, man, this is what we need in the body of Christ, because we will have disagreements. This is a secondary issue, right? We have our essentials, which is our relationship with Jesus Christ, our faith in Jesus Christ, and how we are saved and how we get to have eternal life with Him. Those are essentials. This issue is a secondary issue. It's not essential to our faith, whether or not this is allowed or not allowed. But when we're dealing with these issues, we need to be very careful and very humble, and our speech needs to be seasoned with salt, you know, seasoned with grace. And so I was very blessed by that, and I was thinking about that this week. And so I just want to share this devotional with you on how we should be guarding our speech, how we should be reflecting Christ even in the way we speak. Our relationship with Jesus Christ must be reflected in everything that we do, right? Our actions as well as our thoughts and our speech. In everything that we do. In 1 Timothy, I don't have the right reference. But in 1 Timothy, Paul tells Timothy, hey, don't let anyone look down upon you because of your young age. But he says, but set an example for all believers in speech, in deed, in your faith, and in your love, right? One of the things that Paul mentions is his speech. He says, Timothy, you're a leader of this church now, so I want you to set an example in the way you speak. The way we speak, it must be transformed. It must be affected, influenced by our faith in Jesus Christ. It must be seasoned with humility, knowing that we have been saved by grace, that it is that everything that we have is a gift from God, that we have been rescued by His love. It needs to our speech must reflect the humility that we have in our hearts, as well as the gratitude that we have toward God, and the gratitude and just the understanding and the realization that everything that we have is a blessing, right? That we have been so blessed and so protected and guarded and guided and directed by God, that our speech must reflect these attitudes of humility, gratitude, treating people with honor, knowing how God sees me, understanding, having a revelation of God's love for me and how God views me as a precious person, a child of God. That needs to be reflected in the way we talk to other people, honoring this person, treating this person with honor. And the way we talk to this person must reflect this truth, that God views this person as a child of God, as a man or a woman of God, and we need to treat them with honor. Being gracious and being quick to forgive, knowing that we have been forgiven much by God, right? God has, not anything that we have done, but God in His grace has sent Jesus Christ to forgive us of our sin. Knowing that we have been forgiven so much, how can we talk to people with unforgiveness and just with a mean spirit? You know, we need to be moved by forgiveness and be gracious in our speech. So, I believe that we must guard the way we speak, because the way we speak, our speech is a reflection of what is going on in our hearts. If you can turn with me to James chapter 1, verse 26. James 1, 26. If anyone thinks himself to be religious and yet does not bridle his tongue but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is worthless. Basically, he's saying, if you think you're devout and you're a religious person, you're a good Christian, but you don't control your tongue, you're deceiving yourself. James 3, just a few pages later, James 3, 7 through 12. For every species of beasts and birds or of reptiles and creatures of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by the human race. But no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil and full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come both blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be this way. Does a fountain send out from the same opening both fresh and bitter water? Can a fig tree, my brethren, produce olives, or a vine produce figs? Nor can salt water produce fresh. What this is saying is, from the same mouth, we cannot be praising God and saying, Lord, we love you, we worship you, and then with the same mouth, curse people and use our speech to break people down and to bring people down. Matthew 15:18 would say, the things that proceed out of the mouth come from the heart. So your speech is a reflection of your heart. As a believer in Jesus Christ who have encountered the love of God, I think your speech needs to be changed. It needs to match the profession of the faith that you have with your mouth, that Christ is Lord, that you have been forgiven, that you have experienced His love and grace. That needs to affect the way we speak to people. That needs to affect the way we talk to people. I have a story of that illustrates just the power of words. My brother, this is a few years ago, maybe 4 or 5 years ago. One day, I don't know why we were there, but we went to Tung Chung, to the outlet mall, and we were doing some shopping. We were trying to get a nice winter jacket, and Matt was looking everywhere. He was looking everywhere for a jacket, but he couldn't find it. Finally, we go into Timberland, the outlet shop, Timberland, in Tung Chung, and he finds this brown down jacket, and he loves it. So he like tries it on, but it's slightly too big, right? So he's like, oh man, so we're like debating, should he get it, you know? Because, you know, it's a winter jacket, so it can be a little bit bigger, but he's like, no, you know, I don't like it. So we ask for a different size, but they say no. And eventually, we're about to give up, we're about to go home. But as Matt is walking out of the shop, he sees the store mannequin. And the mannequin has a jacket, the same jacket, but he's like, oh, I think this is the right size. I think this is smaller. So he tries to go and look at the back of the mannequin, but the store people are like, you can't do that. So he's like, hey, can I try this one on? I want to just see what the size is. So they're like, no. Basically, the store people just don't want to bother with it. But Matt insists that he tries this on. So they take it off of the mannequin. It's a size smaller than the one he tried. And he tries it on and he loves it. He's like, oh, it fits perfectly. So he buys this jacket and he loves it. It's a great deal. And then so we get the jacket and then we happen to be coming back to church right after. So he gets the jacket, we come back to church, and he comes into the office, and he's, you know, we bought a bunch of stuff, so we're just showing off to people, like, oh, we bought this, and we bought this, and Matt's like, oh, I bought this jacket, and I love it, and we're telling the whole story of how he couldn't find the right size, but he saw the mannequin, and he insisted that he get the right jacket, so he gets the jacket, so he tries it on for people, and everyone that's heard the story is kind to Matt. So they're like, oh, it looks great. You know, you went through all that effort and it looks great. And then while that's going on, Pastor Sophia enters into the office. And the first thing she says, as Matt is wearing the jacket and is showing off to people, she says, oh, it's a little too big. The jacket's a little too big. And so we always call Pastor Sophia the douser. Because everyone will be excited about something, and she will come and say something that's just like, psh, you know, douses everything. And so Matt's like, oh. And everyone's like, oh, okay. So just the power of our speech, even just her little words, simple words, oh, it's too big. Just kind of put a damper on everything. And this whole excitement and the joy that came from finding this great treasure of a jacket was gone. And that's just a humorous story. But we all know that there is power in our speech. Proverbs 12:18 says this: there is one who speaks rashly like the thrust of a sword, but the tongue of the wise bring healing. Right? There is one that speaks and it's like the thrust of a sword. Pastor Sophia thrust her sword into Matt's heart and went, oh, that jacket's too big. But wise tongue will bring healing to people. Proverbs 16:24, pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul, healing to the bones. There is power in our speech. And so I want to encourage us, in our speech to other people, we need to be very careful with how we speak and how we say these things, because words can leave a huge impact. I think if you were to look back and remember your childhood, you will see that you remember the funniest things and random things that people have said to you. They can either leave a very positive impact or a very negative impact. I remember when I was about 15, I went on a mission trip with Pastor Jimmy. You guys know Jimmy Stewart. He comes here from time to time. And we went to Mongolia. And I mean, I don't even know how I got involved with this trip, but somehow I found out about it and I wanted to go, so I joined the trip and I went with him. And during the mission trip, we had a time where we were praying prophetically for people. And I still remember to this day what Jimmy's wife Linda prayed over me. Isn't that crazy? That's 18 years ago this happened. But her words can still, I still look think about it and look back to what God said through her to me. And it still encourages me to this day. Our words can have a huge impact. Compare Linda's word to my roommate, my college roommate's word, who used to always call me a lazy piece of trash. I mean, we were good friends. He was just kidding. But he used to call me that. But I still remember that. I had to go through, like, you know, healing on my own and be like, you know, I reject it. But for a while, it impacted me. Because I would miss my morning class all the time. So he would come back and say, you lazy piece of trash, you slept in again. And somehow it like stuck with me. These words can have so much power. We say them so flippantly, but I think our words to people must be guarded, and it must be, we must be careful with how we speak, because our words can leave a huge impact. And then our speech about other people, right? Our speech directly to people, how we say things to people is very important. And our speech about people. I don't know if you remember, but when Pastor Sam was speaking about murder and how Jesus says, even if you say something negative, you call your brother a fool, you have committed murder. So he connected that to slander and how so often we slander people when we gossip people within the community, and it's like murder. And I don't know if you remember, but P. Sam said, when you gossip or slander somebody, you're bringing death to the person that you're speaking to, because you're bringing slander to the conversation. You're bringing death to the person that you are slandering, and you're also bringing death to yourself, because you're letting yourself commit the sin of slander. And I think it's very important that we be careful with our speech about other people. So easy to just kind of, and I'm guilty of it too. Probably we're all guilty of it, you know, and we think, oh, but, you know, this person's not here to listen, so we can talk about it. But you know what? Who is listening is God. God is listening to what you're saying about this person, and God thinks this person is a child of God. I mean, we have to remember that God would look at this person with honor and love, no matter who he is, no matter who she is, even if she is living in sin or whatever the case might be, God will still call upon, you know, he looks upon this person with love and tenderness and honor, and yet we're talking behind this person's back and slandering this person. We think she will never hear it, but God is always listening. So if we keep that in mind, we better be careful with how we speak about other people. I want to say, instead of slandering somebody, let's bless people behind their backs. One thing that, if you have been at SP for a long time, if you've known Pastor Sam for a long time, one thing that you know is Pastor Sam will not praise you in front of you or to you. Like he would never come up to you and say, or rarely would he come up to you and say, hey, you did a really good job, or I'm really proud of you for this, or I think you did such a good job here. But then you would hear that P. Sam said that about you to another person behind your back. So you never really get to hear it from P. Sam, but you hear from somebody else. Oh, did you hear what P. Sam said? P. Sam said, you did such an amazing job, right? And I hear from Pastor Sam Kim, who is in Beijing. He would tell me from time to time, man, P. Sam, I'm so proud of you. I'm like, really? He never says that to me, right? So let's be blessing people behind people's back instead of slandering people. Right? And then maybe somehow this person will hear what you said about this person, and that person will be so blessed to know that people are talking behind their back, but in a positive way, lifting them up and encouraging them instead of the other way around. And then lastly, I just want to say real quickly, your speech to yourself, you need to guard that, because we can so easily talk negatively about ourselves and bring our own selves down. If you remember in Exodus, when God calls Moses and he says, Moses, I want you to go and deliver the people. Moses keeps rejecting God, saying, no, I'm not, I can't speak. You know, I'm not very good at speaking, and I'm not fit to be leading this people. And he gives all sorts of excuses. And when Moses asks, who am I to be able to do this? God says, God doesn't give Moses a straight answer, but God says, I will be with you. So in a sense, when Moses says, who am I? God's saying, your identity is that I am with you. Right? Let that be your identity and say, you know, no matter what you go through, you can say, you know what? God is with me. My wife and I, we have to constantly rebuke each other. And we always say, take that back. Because we're so quick to just say something negative about ourselves. Oh, I can't do that. Or I'm stupid. Or I suck at this or whatever. And we always say, hey, take that back. Because we know that there is power in our words, even in the way we speak to ourselves or about ourselves. So, like today's verse, Psalm 141, verse 3. Set a guard, O Lord. Let this be a prayer this morning. Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth, and keep watch over the door of my lips. So let's pray that God would set a guard over our mouth, that he would help us. Whenever we want to say something rashly and we want to say something without thinking, I pray, God, that you would help us, Lord, to just put a guard over our mouth and help us to be careful. So let's, Kim's going to come and lead us in a song. Let's pray together and let's just go before the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for your encouragement, God, in your word about our speech. And Lord, we're convicted by what James says, God, how from the same fountain we cannot have fresh water and bitter water, and yet we, even though we have been saved and we have been forgiven and we have experienced the love of God and the goodness of God, we're so quick with our speech, Lord, to slander people or to put people down, and we don't always reflect your grace and your love in our lives. So I pray for your forgiveness, God, and I pray this verse for ourselves, that you would put a guard, set a guard over our mouth. And as Psalm 19:14 says, God, let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you, Lord. So Holy Spirit, come and bring your conviction and come speak to us, God. Thank you.
Beyond all fame, and the cry of my heart is to bring you praise from the inside out, Lord, my soul cries out. God, I'm losing myself in bringing you praise everlasting. Your light will shine when all else fades, never ending. Your glory goes beyond all things. My heart and my soul, Lord, I give you control. Consume me from the inside out, Lord. Let justice and praise become my embrace, to love you from the inside out. Everlasting, your light will shine when all else fades, never ending. Your glory goes beyond the cry of my heart is to bring you praise from the inside out, Lord, my soul cries out. Everlasting, your light will shine when all else fades, never ending. Your glory goes beyond all things, and the cry of my heart is to bring you praise from the inside out, Lord, my soul cries out from the inside out, Lord, my soul cries out. Consume me from the inside out, Lord. Let justice and praise become my embrace, to love you from the inside out. Everlasting, your light will shine when all else fades, never ending. Your glory goes beyond dolphin, and the cry of my heart is to bring you praise from the inside out, Lord, my soul cries out from the inside out, Lord, my soul cries out.
Yes, God, thank you. As we praise you, God, this morning, I pray that our speech, the way we talk to people, the way we talk about other people, the way we talk about ourselves, God, it would reflect the praise that we're offering to you this morning. So, God, I pray that you would help us, God, to really honor you and honor people with our speech. Thank you, God. Let's pray for our community together. Let's pray for those going through cancer. We're going through chemo, recovering from surgery. Let's pray for the healing of God to come. Let's pray together. Let's go to the second slide. Let's pray for those going through illness but they're in need of salvation, let's pray that God will move in their lives and bring His salvation to them. Let's pray. Let's go to the third slide. Let's pray for those going through various infirmities. Let's pray for healing to come. Let's pray. Let's pray for our friends looking for a job at this time. Let's pray for God's favor, God's direction and guidance and encouragement in this time. Let's go to our Friday prayer focus. Let's pray for SP Singapore and SP Indonesia. It's our Febe ministry. Pray for Pastor Salamat and Mimi and their family. And let's pray for Kupang, the place that we visit on our summer mission trip to Indonesia. And for Singapore, let's pray for all the leaders there and pray for Pastor Sam Kim and Annie as they transition, as they go through the process of transitioning to Singapore. Let's pray and cover this place. Let's pray for our mission committee. Let's pray for God's just love upon them. Let's pray that they will be able to hear God very clearly as they make decisions about our mission trips and our mission giving. But let's also pray just for their personal lives, that God would really bless them, their families and their job and their relationships. Let's pray for our missions committee. Let's pray for our local outreach ministry. Let's pray for all these different ministries listed there. Pray for the leaders and pray for all the volunteers. Pray for strength and anointing and increase just love for the people that we minister to. So let's pray for local outreach and more signups for that. Let's pray for our Friday evening activities, SPU and intercessory prayer. I don't think Yahweh is doing, yeah. So just SPU tonight and intercessory prayer. Let's pray for a real amazing time. Let's also pray for the Friday house churches meeting tonight, McCain and Discovery Bay, that they'll really have an amazing time. So let's lift up all the activities happening tonight. Let's pray. Thank you. God, thank you for this morning. We just want to say that we love you, God, and we worship you. Thank you for being with us. Thank you for hearing our prayers, and help us to continue to pray and continue to just be in your presence this morning. I pray for your blessing over each person that's here, wherever they go, God, today, in their work, in their speech, in their relationships with people. I pray that they would just sense the presence of God with them. And we worship you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great day today.